title the Yankees sent out was what?
Think small, lose big.
Think small, lose big. The habamina of the title tonight's year was just think big. And that's what I think of my father. And I am no one to take his place. But as a b'dieved, I'm here. Avraham Avinu is 75 years old, and he gets the first mitzvah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lech Lecha. Go and travel for yourself. Now, I could tell you word for word my father's sefer by my bar mitzvah parsha, but I'll let him say it maybe next week. But he said a whole speech, Lech Lecha. But I'm not my father. I'll tell you what I could try. Lech Lecha, go for yourself. Rashi says, Lech Lecha means lehana'atcha, for your own appreciation, uletaivatcha, and for your own good. And the Rosh Hashiva Zatzal Smubirendam asked the question that if you follow the next few psukim, it's full of blessings. Hashem says, if you go out there, you're going to get bracha, which Rashi says means money. The answer to all of the world's problems. And I got l'shamecha, fame. And you're going to have a good gadol, you're going to have a great nation. Every bracha that man can dream of, family, fame, fortune, he's got everything. And still Hashem has to tell him, lech lecha, go for yourself. What, does he need a reassurance? Hashem's about to promise him all the brachas in the world. Why does Hashem have to tell him, lech lecha, go for yourself? Lech, and I promise you, I'm going to give you fortune, fame, and family. Another question we could ask is, there's a very similar expression that we have, and that's right before the story of the Meraglim. Klal Yisrael comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they say, I know we're supposed to go into Eretz Yisrael, wonderful, great land, but don't you think it's appropriate to send in some spies? Bush would say yes. Obama would say no. I don't know. Klal Yisrael wants to send people in. They want to check out Eretz Yisrael first. And Moshe Rabbeinu consults with the Bar Yoilam, and Hashem says, Shlach Lecha. Over there, Rashi doesn't say, Lahana Otsa Litovaska, for your appreciation and for your own good. Secondly, over there, Rashi says it was a reshus. You're on your own. The Hebrew said, you want to do it? Go ahead, do it. You have permission. I'm not backing this. But it's up to you. Over here, this is the first mitzvah. Everybody is. How come? The whole story of Avraham Avinu, which we learned in elementary school, he broke his father's Avodah Zarah and they threw him into a chazan. Nothing's mentioned in the Torah. It's all in the Midrash and Gemara's. But in the Torah itself, it's not mentioned. He's 75 years old. He's already a pretty accomplished man. That's who the Torah starts speaking about, Avraham Avinu. And all the Mepharshim say that the Torah doesn't speak about Avraham Avinu before the Eibishter spoke to Avraham. This is the first tzivui Hashem gave to Avraham Avinu. Everything else until now, he had seven mitzvahs in his name, believe in God, and etc., etc. And he was sticking to what he was supposed to be doing. But he didn't actually have a direct mitzvah from Hashem to do anything. This is the first one. Go out there. But this was a mitzvah. This was a command. This wasn't just Hashem giving you permission. You know, there's a good investment out there. Go out there. You're on your own. But it's a good investment. Go out there. You have permission to invest. Hashem gave him a mitzvah. Go out. Why by Shlach Lecha was it permissible? And over here was a direct sivui that Hashem said that he had to go. The Gemara in the Dorim, the Flamed Bey, says that because Avraham Avinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bama Eidak Hi Irashena, when Hashem promised that Avraham Avinu's descendants are going to get the land of Israel, so he said, Bama Eidak, how do I know we're going to get it? And the Gemara in the Dorim says that because of that doubting question of Avraham Avinu, Ne'enash B'Yadoya Teda, he was punished that Yadoya Teda, oh boy, you'll know. You're going to go through trials and tribulations, you're going to go through Mitzrayim, you're going to go through a period of ups and downs and terrible misfortune, so finally, you're going to come to a true recognition of the greatness of Hashem, that I'm able give you the land of Israel. So because of Avraham Avinu's doubt, and he hears, Namo Eza, they will punish that surely you're going to come to recognize the greatness of Hashem, and because of that we have to go through Mitzrayim and everything that came about from it. What was so terrible about Avraham Avinu's question? Ramban says, Avraham Avinu was asking, how do I know that my kids aren't going to be Kaitei? You made me a promise. You're going to give me Eretz Yisrael. Can I really be sure of it? Maybe my kids are going to be Kaitei. Maybe the Canaanim in Eretz Yisrael are going to do tshuva. Nineveh did tshuva. Maybe the Canaanim are going to do tshuva. You're not going to want to take the land away from them. It's very nice, honest. Good question. It wasn't really a doubt in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power. It was really, he was unsure if Bnei Yisrael was going to be Zeichem. What was so terrible? Earlier on as well, the Ramban points out an unbelievable chiddush. We have a Messiah, we don't criticize Chazal, or any of the Anshei HaTorah personalities that we find in the Torah, we don't have rishus to give our own critique into their essence. We can't do, you know, a personality test on them. What we find that Chazal criticize or compliment, we're able to harp on that, extrapolate, bring it out a little more, give it a little color. And over here the Ramban says that when Avraham Avinu started traveling through Eretz Yisrael and the hunger struck, and he traveled south of Eretz Yisrael into Mitzrayim. Ramban says, Eloshin, Veda, you should know, Ki Avraham Avinu chata chet gadol b'shgaga. He did a terrible sin b'shoigeg, accidentally. For two things, Shehevi ishtaya tzadekis b'nifso, when he allowed the Mitzrayim to take his wife because he said she's just my sister. So they took Sarah by his little lie. And also, Gam Yitziyotay Minaret, his leaving Eretz Yisrael due to the hunger. And going into Mitzrayim was also a chet gadol, b'shoyeg, he says. Why is Dr. Ramban on his wife, Hoyoloi Liftoyach B'Shem, he should have had betachim. And Hashem, Shigatoloi Tzivetishtoy. He's going into a place that is known for murdering husbands of beautiful women. But he should have been by Tayach Hashem. Yeah, say that she's your wife. He should have been by Tayach. Because Hashem has the power to save. And by his leaving Eretz Yisrael due to hunger, also. Avoy Nasher Chotok, Yelokim Barab, Yiftel Mimavat, Hashem can save him from hunger. He should have been by Tayach Hashem. So here the Ramban, this is a landmark. Where the Ramban, at least according to my understanding, I haven't seen it, any Midrashim brought down, that there wasn't any taina on Avraham Avinu for leaving Eretz Yisrael due to the hunger. Rashi brings out our character, Medrash Rabba says, that the hunger was specifically a test if Avraham Avinu would think wrongly of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the command of Lech Lecha in the first place. And Avraham passed that test. He didn't think wrongly of the mitzvah of traveling, but he did what was appropriate. I'm hungry, I gotta go get some food. He went down to Mitzrayim. Hashem didn't tell him where to stay. Hashem didn't come with the Nevuah yet to stay in any specific place. So where there was food, he went. And yet the Ramban points out that it was a terrible chet, but it was b'shoigeg. First of all, what was so terrible about it? L'chayri did what's appropriate. Ain't same chanal anes. We're not supposed to rely on miracles. And secondly, L'chayri, how does this stem with the Gemara in the Dvarim that says, because he doubted and he has HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how can we ensure that my kids are going to be Zayich in Eretz Yisrael? That's why he lost the land of Eretz Yisrael. Ramban says that because Avraham went down to Mitzrayim, I didn't quote the last words of the Ramban, because of this that he left Eretz Yisrael for food, Nigzar al-Zara, same thing, Maisa of a similar button, Yaakov and his kids went down to Mitzrayim for food. The whole thing started because of food. And they went down to Mitzrayim, and they had the Gaul of Mitzrayim and all of the Tzaris. And he says, just as Avraham Avinu's wife was taken away, and he allowed her to be taken away by claiming it's his sister, so too the Mitzrayim were Shalit, didn't I say, in Shal Yisrael in Mitzrayim as well. Because of this. How does that spin with Bama Oida? Was this a punishment for Bama Oida? Or was it a punishment for Avraham Avinu's leaving Eretz Yisrael and giving up on his way? The Chofetz Chaim in Sefer Shmiras HaLashon, he goes through a lot of parshiyos and he discusses where the dinim of Lashon Hara or other midos ben anam l'chaveri come into play throughout the parshiyos. And he goes through parsha after parsha. Comes to the parsha of Shlach, which is the parsha of Meraglim, the parsha of Lashon Hara, right after the story of Miriam. And he says, what was the terrible, terrible Avera? What was wrong? Where did the Meraglim turn wrong? It says in the beginning of Shlach that the Meraglim were the Nesiyei Yisrael. They were the greatest people amongst Klal Yisrael. These were the best spies you could send in, the most trustworthy people that Hashem had, all of the leaders. And something went wrong. Something turned very sour. Fret the Chofetz Chaim, what happened? The Chofetz Chaim says that there's an interesting Yetzirah that we have. They come to shul and they're making an appeal. You know, and of course the person who's making the appeal looks around and he finishes his wonderful emotional speech and this nice big build-up and he's waiting for the first responders. And what's everybody thinking? Not for the big guys. Let's wait for the big guys to put up the big numbers for Suck the HR. You're still 20. Who are you to answer first? Hey, you're a small guy. When there's a big mitzvah to do, the HR says, you're not right for it, you're too small. And yet when there's an Avera that's coming up and small guys fall into Avera, when there's a small mitzvah to be done, which may involve a little insult to someone's pride, the Yetzirah then comes along and says, it's not right, it's any lefich v'itcha for you to get involved in this type of mitzvah, it's a little dungy, it's not kishmak, it's not sweet, it doesn't look good for you on public eyes. So the Yetzirah has this dual way of playing around with our psyche. Sometimes he's going to make us feel way too big to do a simple mitzvah. And he's going to make us feel way too small to do a big mitzvah. And he says that's where the Meraglim turned bad. The Meraglim were of tremendous great status in Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, you Klal Yisrael want to go with Hishtadlut? You don't want to be Soymech Alaneis because you feel you're not right for it? Okay. If you feel so humble and you feel so small that you're not right for an ace, you have permission to go with Derech HaTeva. Go in, send in the spies. But I'm not backing. I felt, because Baruch Hu says, you were right for it. You were up to having the most miraculous Nisim coming into Eretz Yisrael, taking it over without a problem. But if you feel small, and you don't feel right for the Nase, okay, go ahead, send in the Meraglim. But I'm not telling you to do so. And with that, the Meraglim went in feeling small, and Zakhtar Chavetzkain came back to Klal Yisrael, and they said, it's ridiculous, the type of Nisim that we're going to need to beat this place. Avad Hashem could do anything, but we're not ready for it. We don't have the schusim to supply for such Nisim. There's no way we can make it into Eretz Yisrael. And that's what the Chavetzkain says was the chet of the Meraglim. They were Nisim. They could have and should have felt very chashuv. It was appropriate for them to feel chashuv and rely on a miracle. And they made themselves small inappropriately. And they felt they wouldn't be ready for an ace. When Hashem said, I'm going to go into Eretz Yisrael, I'll take you in, you're going to take over. And they made themselves small. That was the chet, and that was the whole dance. Perhaps we could say, and I was a little scared to give this taich, and I checked it off, I guess, Mashkiach in the yeshiva, if I could say this, and he gave me permission, and he said that Shlomo Zolder said the same fact. So, Baruch Hashem, we're on the right track. that perhaps Avraham Avinu, the exact same midah, trait, that caused him to sin with Bama Eida, he wanted a guarantee. He felt uncomfortable. Who said I and my children are going to be zeicher to get into Eretz Yisrael? Because Baruch Hu promised him, you are worthy enough. You're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to give it to your kids. They're going to make it in there. And Avraham Avinu said, what do you mean? Maybe we're not going to be zeicher. Maybe we're going to be too small. That was the exact same problem that the Ramban is pointing out. But Baruch Hu sent him to Eretz Yisrael. Here was a hunger. What's the big deal to hunger? The Eibishter felt that Avraham Avinu is ra'oi to be living beyond Teva. He doesn't have to work with the norm of Hishtadlus. He doesn't have to work with the norm of Ein Simchin Al Hanes. It always used to bother me, why is it that Tzadikim is so good with Nishan? You got some good Rebbe. And, you know, other people, it's just like, well, where's the secret? And I remember once hearing from my father, probably based on his words from Lech Weinberg, I think he once mentioned here before, that you're going down the street and you say, you know, oh, shit, I need a spot, I need a parking spot, I need a spot, I need a spot. And then a spot opens up. And they say, wow, Shem, I can't believe you did that. And then the guy just pulls right back in. And he loses the spot. Avraham Avinu was supposed to realize his greatness and realize that he's supposed to be living on a level beyond the Teva, not because he's relying on a nes. He was so close to the Bnei Yoilam, for him, it should have all been natural. It says that a Yid who sticks his finger into his pocket and pulls out the wrong coin, it's called Yesurim, and that's Mechaper on your Averis. You know how smooth a Jew's life is supposed to be? You know how much Hashkacha Pratis is supposed to go into every second of our daily activities? Every little tiny twitch and move that we have that's not 100% smooth and perfect, that's Yisurim from the Bnei Yoilam, and it's Mechaper. That's how smooth life is supposed to be for a Jew. And Avraham Avinu should have felt the same way. Not that it's a nes. I'm living with Hashem. Hashem's with me at all times. Of course everything's going to be smooth. So nobody else has a kernel of wheat to put and make into flour and eat bread? I'm with God. Not that it's a nes, Teva. The Marsha in Kedushin says a pshat in an unbelievable Gemara. There was a story where there was a community that had a very powerful evil spirit residing in one of the shuls. And that shade, it said, had seven heads, and it would appear even by daytime, even if two people would come into the shul together, would shade them never appear in front of two people. This was a real chutzpah shade. It came out by day, two people, no matter. And the Gemara relates that I think it was Reb Yaakov and Amira, when he came to town, the Rav, who I believe was Abaya, I saw it inside of, I think it was Abaya instructed that nobody should offer him housing. Nobody should offer to be his host. Because he knows that if nobody's going to host him, he's going to have to sleep in shul. And Reb Yaakov will take good care of the shade. He wasn't white. Kachava, nobody offered him. And he stayed in the shul. And it said he davened, and every time he bowed down, another head from the shade popped off. And he asked, he bowed down, how many bows do you have in the Shemoneh Esrei? Nobody? We don't count the Eitz HaShalom like Sakur. Seven. So, Shalom. So anyway, he bowed down, knocked off each one of the heads, was gewaldig. The next morning it was a celebration, but finally, you know, the wicked wish was dead. So Reb Yaakov came to Abai and he had a taina. And he said, what are you doing? You're putting me into a massive world. Which is Sakaras Nevashis. And he says, if not for a miracle which takes away from my chutzim, I would have been dead. How could you go and put me into such a matzav? Even if you knew that my chutzim would save me, How can you put me in a matzav where I'm going to lose all my chutzim? Zakta Mahashah, Abaya didn't answer him back. But Abaya knew that when Rav Yaakov speaks to God, it's not nisim. It's natural. And it's not going to take away from his chutzim. It's normal. When a son answers his father for something, the father takes care of it. That's not even called a nis. It doesn't take away from chutzim. That was the time of Avram. Avram Avinu didn't recognize his own greatness, how close he was to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it's appropriate for him to rely on the nisim. And it's not even considered a nisim. He didn't recognize his own godliness. The same thing when it came to Sarah. He was risking his own life. And Zach Ramban, he should have. Yeah, save your life and they're going to try to kill you. You rely on the Eberster. And it was a time on him that he felt that he had to work with manners within the realm of nature and come up with tricks to try to save himself. Avram, you don't have to come up with tricks. You got the Bar Yehlam with you. I saw once a verse from Moshe Feinstein. It's a not such a well-known sefer. It's called, let's see if I remember any of the sefer. I remember it offhand. It'll come to me soon. It's not in the Dibros Moshe, but it's on the Parashiyos. And Rav Moshe says that we all know Mashiach is going to come in a generation that's Kulei Zakai or Kulei Chayiv. Either Mashiach is going to come, swoop down to save us from complete destruction, where we're so low, or Mashiach is going to come when we're so unbelievably deserving, we're perfect. Zabdev Maisha, so here we are in America. So Mashiach is going to come sooner, Maisha says. Come on, look at us. We're almost completely Zakeh. That's what Mashiach. Are we falling into the same pit that Avraham Avinu did? How many of us feel that we are almost kulay zakeh? How many of us feel if Mashiach would come, we better bury our heads, we're going to be so embarrassed of it? Do we believe we're almost kulay zakeh? This is a fact from Rav Moshe Feinstein. As good as the air of Pesach and anything else. We're almost kulay zakeh. Dr. Moshe, we've never lived in times where we are so closely involved with the Goyim. And the challenges that we have because of our relationship with them are so unprecedented that anything we overcome is tremendous. And adarabba, our downfalls, our pitfalls, are very small. The challenge of living amongst the Goyim in this friendly relationship that we have in America is so unbelievable that those of us who are overcoming any challenge, anything that comes up, he said, Shmir Shabbos. Shmir Shabbos. He said, in Europe, if you didn't keep Shabbos, if you were nichshal in a Sufik muksa, you were a guy. Shmir Shabbos was on such an unbelievable level in Klal Yisrael. He says, over here now, we're living amongst the Goyim. He says, even the biggest Yisurim become lighter. And even the smallest mitzvahs, the smallest challenges we have in overcoming the Yetzer Hara are tremendous. And the Mela, we are almost kulay zakeh. I'm talking personal experience. I feel I'm falling into this pitfall. I feel too small. Mashiach's going to come. Too small. And we have to be aware that sometimes that could be a big Yetzirah. Feeling that we're too small can be a very simple Yetzirah for the Yetzirah to tell you to give up. Don't bother with Nisim Tovim. Don't bother with Tshuva. You're small anyway. You're too small for the big stuff. Perhaps that's why the Bar Yehlam had to tell Avraham Avinu with a mitzvah, with a tzivui. If he was going to tell Avraham Avinu, you know, go out there, it's a reshus, I give you permission, there's a nice investment out there, travel a little, you'll get fame, you'll get fortune, you'll get a family, but you're on your own. You know what Avraham Avinu's response is going to be? I don't want to be on it. I'm scared to be on it. The Eberster knew that Avraham Avinu was mocking himself, was making himself small. That was Avraham Avinu's nature. And if the Eberster would tell him, I allow you to go, and it's, you know, you'll have a lot of bracha, he's going to say, it's not worth the bracha. Let me sit in Beis Medrash and learn. That's what the Rishivas itself said. You know why Hashem had to tell him, Mahanotka, Ule, Pevotka, two things? The Pasuk says, I'm promising you money, fame, fortune, everything. Somebody said, I'm not interested in fame. I'm not interested in fortune. Give me my Gemara, let me sit and learn. Said, I'm only the 300 Masechtas, just another dessert. He had what to do. He wasn't interested in the fame and fortune. And the Eibishter had to be Mechayivim with the mitzvah. No, no, no. This is not permissible. I'm not giving you a permissible investment that you're going to have money and fortune and fame and family from. I'm being mitzvah you. And Rashi doesn't say that it's just a reshus. I'm being mitzvah you. Go out there, and Rashi has to say, L'cho, what does L'cho mean? L'tayvascha. Not just hana'oscha, that you'll enjoy it. You know, it's money, fortune, fame. But no, it's l'tayvascha. It's for your own good. Not just for your own enjoyment and for your own appreciation, but for your own good. And Hashem was mitzav him to go out, because Hashem knew if he just leaves it as a reshus, I don't know if he was not him. So we have to think big. If you think small, you can lose it all. What's called big? The Shiva's full dream of the Tzal said that he once met Rav Shach. He used to, whenever he went there, he'd go into Rav Shach. He talked to him. And he one time said something to Rav Shach about Rav Shach's greatness, something big Rav Shach did. And Rav Shach said, what means to him? What, you think this is godless? Ich bin a Shulchan Aruch Yid. I'm keeping what it says in Shulchan Aruch. And the Shiva said that it's not a Shiva. That's godless! What do you think godless is? What do you think godless is? Be a Shulchan Aruch. That's godless. That's greatness. That's big. The Yetzirah wants us to think that keeping Dalet Shulchan Aruch is for big guys. But for us small people, halavai, I'd keep all of Shulchan Aruch. No, Shulchan Aruch is for everyone, and that is our godless. David said, V'eschel goy gadol, our entire nation is gadol. Not just the big guns out there that are gedolim. We're all gedolim. I'll tell you what's godless. It was an Agudah convention once, many, many years ago. And they were speaking about MS, and honesty, and MS, and MS, and MS, and MS. And people were relating unbelievable things in business, how people overcame the challenge to some, you know, trickery and lies, and they stuck to the MS. And Rav Pam got up. And Rav Pam said, you know what MS is? When somebody calls up on the phone and your son or daughter picks up. And you don't want to pick up the phone. You don't want to talk to the person right now. And you tell your son, 1 second, I'm running into the bedroom to lay down. So that you could tell the person I'm in bed. That's MS! Don't come and tell me big, huge stories of people giving up millions of dollars in business for MS. I know what MS is. Plain and simple and daily, easy life. But it's such a small challenge that we disregard it. We don't even look at that as a godless. So we don't bother with it. We don't look at it as that it's special, so we don't even invest any credits into it. That's special. Every little challenge that we have is really big. There's a certain mashkiach in the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. very successful mashgiach in a big yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. And not known to that many people, he's a Baal Tshuva. And he told Rav Matis Yo Solomon the story. He said, Yichob Given, I was the biggest Baal Taiva in Tel Aviv. He used to live in Tel Aviv. And every day I would frequent the worst of streets. All the whatever money could buy, I bought. And I was one time walking down a specific street in Tel Aviv, and what do you know? There was a yeshiva guy. A bachur, a teenager. What he was doing there, no clue. I see this yeshiva guy, and he passes by one of my favorite stores. And as the yeshiva boy passed by one of my favorite stores, the yeshiva boy noticed what was in the window, what was in the display. He turned his head ever so slightly to the side and walked by. And he said, that hit me like a ton of bricks. Who sees this yeshiva boy? Who's watching over him? Nobody. Who's he scared of? It must be that somehow he has a greater sense of pleasure by turning his head away than what I do when I turn myself to the displays. I got to find out what he has that's so pleasurable. And I tracked this guy down, and I followed him, and I became a bunch. What did this yeshiva guy do? What did he do? Something small. That's godless. And when a person gets involved in godless, it has waves and waves, and it develops into tremendous. There's a guy out there now who's a mashgiach in a yeshiva who's affecting hundreds of talmidim every single year. Because this one boy walked by a display and turned his head. Tonight, right before Myers, I asked somebody that was here if he's staying for Myers. And he said, half. So what does that mean? And where are you going to go to Myers? He said, no, I'm half here. I looked at him, he was tired, he was pale, he didn't look himself. I said, what's up? He said, he's coming straight from, he left his house like 4 or 5 o'clock this morning to go out of town on a business meeting. And he came from his whole trip and everything straight here to learn his chavrusa for 45 minutes. And then he's staying for 9 hours and going, that's not God. There's something out there called Siddur Rashi. It's not so famous, not so popular. You don't find it in every shul. It's mostly Kabbalah, I think. Anyway, put it this way, I didn't understand anything it says there. But Rabbi Yeruchim Lulavit, I don't know if it's a mystic parasha or a different parasha, I tried looking it up. He brings down this Siddur Rashi, so I looked it up. It's written by Rashi Talmidim, and different pshatim, things that Rashi said on tefillah. And it says over there, a beautiful insight into what we say every single day in Shul. We say, Akeil, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanira, Gevaldige praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But this week's parsha, it says that Hashem gave Avram a bracha, that people are going to say, Alekei Avram! People are going to say, Alekei Yitzchak! And people are going to say, Alekei Yaakov! Wow! That's fame! What did Avram Avinu do this world? What's the meaning of it? Stop laughing. How could us finite beings have any idea if we think about the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We're nothing. We can't think of our own, out of our own box and how to, get our kid to put on a shoestring, And we're supposed to be thinking about the godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kel, HaGadol, HaGibor, HaNeira. We have a muzik in Hashem's greatness and strength and awesomeness. Nothing. How can we even say the words? How do you say the words? Said that Chazal took out those words from davening because Hashem hates sheker. And for us to say the words when they have no meaning to us is sheker. And the Anshei Knesset HaGdolim went and put them back in because they found meaning in the word. I'm not going to go into the details. Gemara in Saita Samach Kasek. Yuba. Zok Lashi. Somebody goes through the Parsius and he meets a personality called Avraham Avinu. And he sees how Avraham Avinu was able to go and run right after his bris milah in the heat of the day and take care of his guests and then fight a war to form Malachim, to find Malachim just to stick up for his nephew who abandoned him. And all the unbelievable great things about Avraham Avinu. Unbelievable. It's such a person we can't imagine. But we're exposed to it. We see his greatness. And then you say, Elokei Avraham. You know who God is? He's the one that Avraham Avinu was nothing. That Avraham Avinu would prostrate himself and say, Hashem, I'm up for vapor. I'm nothing. You're boss. That's how we could gain a little insight in our Kel HaGadol. When you think into who Yitzchak was, and then you recognize that, like, hey, Yitzchak, that's how you could say HaGibor. And when you think about Yaakov, and you know the greatness of Yaakov, and you say, like, hey, Yaakov, who's God? The God of Yaakov. Wow. That's Hanayra. Every Jew that walks out there in the street has a capability with small little things, like this yeshiva bacher in Tel Aviv. Small things. They have the capability of bringing out Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanayra in every moment of our daily life. Everything we do, we could bring out Baruch Elokei Shimon Ben Shokach. We could bring out a Baruch Elokei Yanki Meir. You know how many? There's a certain person, Yanki knows who I'm talking about, in New Yeshiva Kailo, that the guy has no idea how many people look up to him. He was inspired by the Rosh Hashiva Zatzal a number of years ago. He gave up his day job. He works nights now, and he sits in Yeshiva a whole day learning. You know how many Kailo in your life look up to this person? The person itself doesn't realize it. He has no clue that people look up to him with gadlus. But you don't have to do that for gadlus. It's the small things. How many of you thought tonight, wow, this is, I'm pretty great, you know, I'm coming out of here tonight for this year. It's not even really, mostly it's the sun, you know, it's a gadlus. You're coming out at night and it's a little chilly, you don't know if you're going to get the parking spot. And you're coming out to hear some Torah. In a world that has every type of screen in the house. I mean, and we're coming out and leaving everything, and not everybody has the excuse that the wife wants them out of the house. You know, we're coming out because we want to learn. That's not godless. We have to realize that even the small things we do, and the small things the Yetzer Hara is telling us not to do, is a tremendous greatness that's within the hand and reach of every one of ourselves. And if we're Zeicha and we believe Taka, that we're kemat kulei zakai, yovei Mashiach umheir v'yomein v'amei.
Amen.
Rapha Chorah, מגוון שיעורי כל הלשון נמסרים על ידי מגידי שיעורים ורבנים המשקיעים מזמנם וכוחם ללמד לרבים. אם ברצונכם וביכולתכם לסייע ולתמוך במגידי השיעורים ובמוסדות התורה שבאחריותם, תוכלו ליצור קשר ישיר עם הרבנים. לקבלת פרטי מגידי השיעורים ניתן לפנות למשרדי כל הלשון בטלפון 02-581-6622 או בכתובת דואר אלקטרוני lstrudel@hl.com